if you keep chickens, and let's face it, most of us do, if you keep chickens, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be receiving exactly the amount of eggs that you want. You're either going to be receiving a few too many in the spring or the summer, or not quite enough in the winter. And we need to be able to manage that dichotomy as homesteaders. We need to be able to work out a way that we can make sure that we're getting all the eggs we want and we're not wasting any all year round.
Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 302 of the Self-Sufficient Podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, we're going to be talking about preserving eggs. It's a habitual problem that us homesteaders have to think about. Once a year, our egg production drops off, and once a year, it picks up, and it puts us in a position where we're really juggling between how many chickens we want to have and how we kind of manage this whole process. Now, chicken keeping is something I imagine most of you do or have some kind of birds producing eggs. And generally speaking, we will find that we're getting many, many more eggs in the spring and summer than we're going to have in the sort of late autumn and winter. And this is no different to the problems, as much as it is a problem, that we experience in our gardens when we're producing our vegetables. We're going to find that we're able to produce lots more of any individual thing at certain times of the year than at others. And how do we combat this? Well, in part, we combat it with some seasonal eating and we eat a bit more of whatever's in season. And in part, we combat it with preserving, don't we? So that we are able to eat things like beans all year round by preserving them and growing for gluts. Well, the same has to be said for eggs. We need to look at that in a similar kind of way. Now, up until now, for us, because of the space we've had here, our family has looked at it slightly differently. We keep enough chickens so that we are getting plenty of eggs, even in January and February. And what that means is we have surplus throughout the rest of the year, which we sell at the roadside. Well, going forward, as we downsize, at least temporarily, we are not certain, but there's a reasonable chance that we're actually going to have to drop down our number of hens, and we might be looking at only having enough for our own needs. So if that's the case of your situation, then you need to have a little think about what that means. If you're only keeping enough chickens to meet your needs and the rate at which they lay eggs is going to fluctuate, then you're going to probably have a period of time when you've got gluts and you have more eggs than you know what to do with. And then you're going to have a period of time when you have famines and there's not going to be enough eggs to meet your family's needs. So, of course, the way that we bridge that gap is by trying to preserve them. So today we're going to talk about 5 specific different ways of preserving your eggs. Now, we've spoke about a few of these in different podcasts in different ways, but we're going to go into a bit of depth today and give you guys everything you need to know to be able to preserve your eggs 5 different ways. The first one we're going to talk about is freezing. And this is one that we do use in our household, although I have to say, because of the nature of the number of chickens we have, it's very, very rare that we find ourselves going to the freezer to pull them out. So we've got lots of frozen eggs in the freezer that don't very often get used. So that's another thing you need to be aware of. You know, you don't want to be over preserving, and if you're over preserving, then it means that you're having too many eggs, you've got too many chickens maybe. So anyway, for freezing, I have definitely found that it's not the case that you can just crack a load of eggs into a container and put them in the freezer. They don't tend to come back very well. they need to be scrambled first. So you've got three different options for freezing eggs, or three different ways of doing it. Two options, really. One is to freeze your eggs whole, and the other one is to freeze your separated yolks, and then finally your separated whites. But whichever option you're going to do, or perhaps you're going to do a combination thereof, you're going to want to scramble them first. They just freeze and come back that much better if they are scrambled. Now, frozen eggs are going to be great for things like baking with. And you can, of course, use them to make scrambled eggs, but they're not, in our experience, they're not as good as the fresh eggs. So definitely bear that in mind. But for baking and things like that, they're going to be absolutely perfect. So you want to think about how you're going to freeze them insofar as portion sizes. If you're going to be doing quite a lot of baking and you're going to be doing recipes that call for 10 eggs at once, then of course you can do them in batches of 10. But another way you could do it is to crack all your eggs into a bowl, scramble them up, and then separate them into portion sizes, perhaps using an ice cube tray or something similar, a Yorkshire pudding tin or a cake tray, something like that, that's going to separate them out into portion sizes. Once you've done that, you can pop them in the freezer and then take out the amount that you need. And of course, the same applies whether you're doing separated whites and yolks. But that's up in our experience, is that so long as you whisk them up first, it really is one of the simplest ways of preserving anything. Now, the only other downside of freezing is it takes up freezer space. So we're going to talk about some other ways as well, which don't require freezer space. And the next one is sort of all encompassing, really. It talks about a few things, and some of them you'll want the freezer for, but some of them you won't. And that is to preserve your eggs in products. So you could bake your cakes and freeze the cakes. You could, however, without using a freezer, make a load of egg pasta, dry it, and then that pasta is going to preserve your eggs in pasta form, which is a great way of doing it. And there's lots of different things we can make with our eggs before we put them into homeostasis, whether it's by drying or by freezing. So that's our method number two. Number three, and this is one that I absolutely love, and we do it here. It's a preservation method, but we do it here not for preserving. We do it just so we've got access to an amazing ingredient, and that is salt-cured yolks. Salt-cured egg yolks are an amazing kitchen ingredient, and if you've never ever made them, then I promise you, you are missing out. There's something you need to do and you need to have on hand, because it just makes the most amazing garnish for pasta dishes, or sometimes we might have some, picture this meal, picture this, it's a really, really simple thing, some sourdough toast with melted butter on top, a couple of slices of ham. And then on top of that, you would take your salt-cured egg and grate it. And it just gives you this amazing, beautifully deep flavour of ham and eggs. And it's just absolutely divine. And if you've never, ever had it, I urge you, please, please, please try it. It also makes a great garnish on top of pasta dishes and anything that's, well, so many different things. It would be foolish for me to try and name them all, but please do try this if you never, ever have. And it's so, so simple to do. Now, if you are a homesteader and you are already preserving, chances are you have a dehydrator, and that's going to make this even easier. But you don't need a dehydrator. It's so simple. So what you would do is you would take your egg yolk, you would separate your white and your yolk. You'd use the white, obviously, to maybe make some meringue, or you could put that in the freezer, like we've already discussed. You take your egg yolks and you basically put them in salt. So you take a little pot, put a load of salt in it, put your egg yolks into the salt, nestled in it, and then cover them with some more salt. Leave them like that for a couple of days in the fridge, then, or up to a week, and then you would take them and basically rinse the salt off and then place them on some greaseproof paper pop them in your dehydrator. If you don't have a dehydrator, you would pop them in the oven with the door open on the lowest possible heat, and then you'd leave them in there for another 12 to 24 hours, and then you would put them back in the fridge in a sealed container where they will keep for a very long time. I don't know how long, because we've never ever experienced any going bad, and we've had them in there for several weeks or months, but it just makes this incredible product. And with any type of preserving, not just these, but with any type of preserving, if you want things to keep for a long time, it's always important to keep everything sterile, and all of the pieces of equipment that are going to be touching your eggs or that you're ultimately going to be storing them in for long-term storage want to be sterile, really, really well cleaned. So bear that in mind. But like I say, do your own research on how long they will keep, because I don't have the answer. But I do know that regardless of that, we would make them even if they only kept for a week, which is less time than a fresh egg would keep on the side. So please do consider doing this if you haven't already. Next up is pickling, and I'm led to believe this is something that doesn't happen a great deal outside of the UK, but hard-boiled pickled eggs in vinegar is something that we would often see for sale over the counter in pubs and restaurants. And I know that my wife is very, very partial to them in a packet of crisps, as are a lot of people. And this really couldn't be any simpler. You get your eggs, you hard boil your eggs in water, and then you peel them. And again, everything I said about when you're preserving anything through pickling or any other method, you want to keep everything nice and clean and sterile. That's really important here. And then you would basically submerge them all in vinegar, in pickling vinegar, just like you would do if you were fermenting something in a brine. You use all the same steps, make sure everything is completely submerged, and that will preserve your eggs for, well, as far as we can tell, almost indefinitely. You know, it's not indefinitely. Again, do your own research as to what level of safety you are comfortable with, but they are a preservation method that we use all the time. And we actually give pickled eggs away as gifts. So that's another option for you. And you can get really quite fancy and start adding different flavorings to the vinegar or even colorings and get some really unusual artisanal pickles from your egg products this way. Now, the last way that I want to talk about preserving eggs is a big one. And it's one I've got no experience of yet, but I think going forward, it's going to be the go-to method for preserving eggs for my family. When and if we move to a flock size where we are dealing with gluts in the spring and summer that we need to preserve for our own use in the winter and spring, then I think this is the method that we're going to use, and that is the method of liming. Now, why are we going to choose liming? Well, basically because what it does is it preserves the fresh egg. It preserves the egg in its shell, uncooked, in such a way that you can use it like any other fresh egg. And I'm obviously, as I said, I've not done it myself. I know one of our patrons who's been on the show, Vicky Parnaby, has done this with great success. And it is definitely, I think, the way forward for me and my family this coming spring. So I'm going to take some information from a website. There's a great website that I will link to in the show notes. Timbercreekfarmer.com has a great page on this exact topic. And I'm going to read a little bit from what she has written here. And she writes, "In my research, I learned about a way to preserve fresh eggs. There are numerous ways to get longer storage of fresh eggs. This method uses no electricity, no fancy equipment. It's called the water glassing method, and it was used in the 1800s. I'm paraphrasing slightly here as I read. Deciding that I only had the risk of it not working and ending up with rotten eggs, I set up my experiment." So this is the method that she used. And all you need is just a nice big food grade bucket or any size container, really. But if you want to do a lot, you're going to want something quite big. You're going to want some pickling lime, which is also called calcium hydroxide, and that is available on Amazon, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. And that's where I'm going to be buying mine for sure. And it's one of those products that it's not always easy to work out what you want, because it's called anything from pickling lime to slaked lime to hydrated lime. But as a builder, I will know that you can buy the wrong thing using those names. You know, hydrated lime is available in a vast number of different forms. So calcium hydroxide is what you want, and a food grade version is going to be what you want. As I say, it's available from Amazon and it's not very expensive. Other than that, you're just going to need some water, something to measure it all, and then your eggs. And the process really, really is quite simple. Now, something to say about eggs in general before we go any further. If you want to preserve your eggs, the first thing to say is your eggs will keep out of the fridge on the side for around a month quite happily. In fact, that is the best before date that you will see in the shops here in the UK. It's the best before date we have to put on our eggs that we sell, and that is assumed that you're not washing them. When a chicken lays its egg, it comes laid with a protective layer, something called a bloom, and this basically protects the whole shell and stops anything getting through and into the egg. This is because chickens, like, you know, all birds, they don't lay, if they're going to sit on a clutch of 12 eggs, they don't lay all those eggs on the same day. So the egg that was laid first has to sit there on its own, or as its potential brothers and sisters are being laid, over the course of a couple of weeks before the chicken will eventually sit on them to try and rear her eggs. So that bloom is already doing a job of preserving. So if you want to just keep your eggs and you want to keep them freshest for longest without doing any work at all, then it's really important that your eggs are being laid somewhere nice and clean, so you don't have to clean them when they come in the house, and that they can just sit then on the side at room temperature for 4 weeks quite happily. And if you want to test if an egg is good or bad, you can just do the float test and pop it in some water. If it sinks, it's good, and if it floats, it's bad. It's that simple, and that's a test we should all be familiar with, whether we're homesteaders or not, just to check our eggs. So we don't run the risk of going wrong by having our eggs sat on the side, because we can just quickly test them if we're not sure. But like I say, they will keep quite happily out of the fridge for 4 weeks, so long as they've got that bloom on them. So once you've got your fresh and clean but unwashed eggs, you are ready to lime them. And again, it's really important not to wash that bloom off, because that bloom will also stop the lime getting into the egg through the shell. That's definitely something that you don't want to do. And that's just one reason why you can't use, for instance, shop-bought eggs to do this with. You only want to do it with your own fresh eggs. So going back to the Timber Creek Farmer webpage, start adding the eggs to the bucket, and once you do, you just want to put as many as you're going to get in there, and then top it up with water and lime to cover them. And the mixing ratios would be 8 ounces of lime, that's roughly 250 grams of lime to every quart or litre of water. That's it. It's simple as that. Cover it over, pop the lid on, and stick it out the way somewhere cool and dry. And I'm just going to read now a few bits from that webpage, because I think it really does a great job of just illustrating how successful this was. So she writes, I began the experiment at the beginning of September. I left the eggs at room temperature until the middle of February. It was time to try the eggs. Did this fresh egg preserving method work? First, I broke a fresh egg from that day's collection into a glass bowl. Taking a second glass bowl, I broke a water-glassed egg into it. Side by side, the eggs were identical. They both smelled exactly the same. Now it was time for a taste test. The water-glassed egg was dropped into the frying pan and a little salt and pepper added, just as I did with the fresh egg. Took a bite. It was amazing. It tasted just like the fresh eggs we had for our breakfast that morning. After 6 months in the water-glassing solution, the eggs are as fresh as they can be. I'm super excited to have found and tested this method. Now, there are a few things that you need to know if you're going to do your own water-glassed eggs. If you're going to take them out and then hard boil them after, you're going to want to do a little pinprick through the shell first, because after sitting in the water glassing liming solution, the eggshells, they're not as porous as they once were, and they'll quickly pop when you start to boil or steam the eggs. You're also going to want to rinse the water glassed eggs, the limed eggs, well before use, because the lime water will cause the egg to curdle if it drips into the bowl of fresh egg or whatever it is you're going to be cooking. The eggs might feel really, really, or look really smooth when they are removed from the solution, but that's okay. And store the bucket or crock or whatever it is you're using in a cool area of the house out of direct sunlight. And this is true for any preserved food. So there you go. And she goes on to say the water glassing method is said to preserve fresh egg storage for up to 2 years. I'm not sure I want to do that for our family. Keeping the eggs fresh for 6 to 8 months is plenty of time for what we're going to need. But that's what you can supposedly do. So there you go. There are your five ways to preserve your eggs, to deal with those cycles of egg production, having too many eggs or not enough eggs at different times of the year. This is how you juggle it. And I hope you found that really useful. I know that I've really got myself quite excited to try this liming method. I'm going to go and buy my lime shortly, ready for the spring. So I've already got it there. And I will, of course, report back to you on the success of that later in the year. As always, please do get in touch with any questions. We've got episode 310 coming up on the horizon, which is going to be an Ask Me Anything episode. selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com to get your questions in. Please, please do that. I really appreciate it. And what else? We've got our book giveaway this Friday, Edible Water Gardens, Growing Water Plants for Food and Profit by Nick Romanofsky. We'll be going out to one of our patrons. That's a book from my own self-sufficiency library that I'm going to be sending out due to us downsizing. Please do consider becoming a patron if you haven't already. And I will look forward to speaking to you all on Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone. Cheers.
This episode of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face-to-face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.